Okay, brother, I'm on. When the music's right, it's easy to preach. And the opposite is also true. I've been in some churches where people came expecting to hear something from God. They had a very good spirit about them. And then the music was all wrong. And then the Holy Ghost just seemed to gone. And so the rest of the night was waste. And for the pity of the poor preacher that gets up in the middle of a mess like that and tries to regain ground that's been lost. That's not the case here. And hallelujah. And it seems to me that these children, where I made their choice, they've made their decision, haven't they? They'd rather have Jesus than anything else. Than anything else. And I'm convinced, brother, sister, this is hard. This is hard to get a grip on. I'm convinced that God in America is going to take away all of our toys. He's going to take away our electronic gimmicks. He's going to take away our big, beautiful buildings. He's going to strip us down to nothing. And maybe then we'll get serious about serving Christ.
Amen.
Maybe when we have nothing else but Jesus, we'll realize just how precious He is.
Amen.
Because we've had too many generations of getting fatter and lazier and more complacent. And then there is a spirit that has set itself upon the church, upon Christians, yes. A satanic spirit, and we'll see some more about that before the night's over, has set itself upon us to make us numb and to dumb us down and to get us to the point where we just don't care anymore. As long as we have a nice, beautiful place to come to, as long as we can wear a nice little mask and feel comfortable about ourselves, it's okay. I believe the Lord, for our own good, is going to take that away. He's going to take it away. It's going to be a terrible, terrible thing to see. But it's going to be good for the church. Now, a preacher put it this way. He said, God's last call to any nation before judgment is prosperity. Think about it. That's all you hear about in the paper, isn't it? That's all you hear about on the radio. Everything's great. Everything's great. But don't talk to the people who've been thrown out of a job after 35 years, and they're 50, and they can't start over, and they get nothing. It's not too great for them, but it's great for somebody that's creating all this stuff out of thin air. It's good for them, isn't it? Everything is getting better and better and better. The Lord gives prosperity, especially to His people or to any nation on the brink of judgment, hoping that they'll call out and say, thank you for the good things you've given us, Lord, but they're not doing that, are they? Wall Street's not thanking God, are they? The White House isn't thanking God. Let me read something for you, please. This is from New York Times Magazine, December 7th, 1997. It's a poll. It's a Gallup poll. 93% of American homes contain at least one Bible. 93% of American, now, it didn't say King James Bible, did it? 93% of American homes contain at least one Bible. 33% of American adults say they read it at least once a week. Now, that's a lot of people now. We're talking about 280 million people or so in the United States. 33% of American adults say that they read the Bible at least once a week. But, here's what this poll found out. 54%, that's over half, of American adults cannot name the authors of the four Gospels. I thought we learned that when we were kids. If you did, you thank God that you learned that some point in your life, because 54% of American adults don't even know who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are. Can't even name it. Oh, but 93% of American homes have a Bible, don't they? 63% of those surveyed don't know what a gospel is. Does that tell you there's a mission field out there?
Yeah.
They don't even know what the gospel is. I mean, what are you waiting for? What more do you need?
Amen.
63% of Americans out there that are surveyed don't even know what a gospel is. Tell them.
Amen.
Tell them what a gospel is. They're yearning and hungering for some good news. 58% cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. Then how can they obey them if they don't even know what they are?
Amen.
You think our society has veered a little bit off course in the last 40, 50 years?
Yes.
58% can't even name half of the Ten Commandments. And I'll guarantee you they won't get the other half right. They may be able to name them, but they don't really know what they are. Finally, 10% think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Gallup poll. You know, something occurred to me today about this thing about the days of Noah. God saved pigs and snakes, but He didn't save the people, did He?
No.
That means, except for Noah, those that were righteous found grace in His sight. That must mean that the people of the world of that day were lower than pigs and snakes.
That's right.
And if today's the same, what we're going to try and show you, if the Lord, as the Lord helps tonight, is there is a reason, there's a method to all this madness that's out there. And it's not my intention to vex anybody's spirit. And believe me, the stuff that we're going to show you tonight is real downplayed. Some of it is 10, 15, 20, even 30 years old. A lot of the punks on the street would laugh at this stuff. They'd say, this is ancient history. Well, some of it is, but you can learn a lot from ancient history, you know. You can learn from the mistakes of the past. And for most of us here, the age group that we've got, the good mix that we've got, many of you are going to remember when these things came on the scene. And sooner or later, unless the people die and are taken to hell, they come right back around again. They take a few years off and they come back bigger than ever. This is happening all the time because Satan wants to capture a new generation every 5-10 years. He tries to get millions more new minds hooked into his power source. And we're going to try to show you, as the Lord helps us, that there are spirits, there are demonic principalities that have orchestrated this whole thing musically in the world, but especially in the USA, ever since about 1967, 1969. And they have a plan. That plan has worked perfectly. Music is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual creation of God. It's a beautiful, powerful thing that was meant to glorify the Lord. But Satan, being a musical creature, has taken God's beautiful creation of music, he's perverted it and twisted it to his own ends and corrupted it and degraded it. And that's what we see out there. And he's done this for now 40 years at least in the modern age. So we'll try and show you that there are at least seven, major demonic principalities that have controlled aspects of the rock pop scene. And that's why, one reason why, our society is in the shape it's in today. Let's pray, and then we'll read a verse of Scripture. Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, would you please establish my thoughts? And Lord Jesus, would you please show mercy to us here tonight? Lord, we're needy people. I'm needy. I have need of you tonight, Lord Jesus. I have nothing in my heart or mind that will help anybody here in this room, but you do. So let the Scripture speak clearly and plainly. We pray that you would give us Holy Ghost discernment. Open our spiritual eyes and ears, Lord. Let us see the reality of the world that we live in and realize that never before in history have we had so much and done so little for the kingdom of God. Lord, please help us to get up and do something for Christ and for his kingdom while there's still time. And Lord, let us see exactly what wickedness Satan has perpetrated, that we could resist it, fight it, and warn others. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, trusting you, Lord, to give us the Holy Ghost and hold back the deceiver. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Do we have a volunteer who would like to read that? Ephesians 6, verse 12. Now, I've heard multitudes of sermons preached on this, and in fact, in our home church, our pastor has hit it about 4 or 5 times in the last year, and that tells me we, as a church, must not be getting the message. He keeps coming back on this thing. Well, I want us to get this. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Of course, this is a different church. Ephesians 6, 12. First person to find that, would you please read it nice and loud?
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You ever wrestled with a demon, brother, sister? You ever wrestled with a demon? You sure have. I know you have. You wrestle with a demon when you used to drink beer and whiskey, and God saved you from that thing, and you drive down the highway, and you see the big old billboards with the Seagrams and the Jack Daniels bottles up on there, and that little voice whispering in your ear saying, oh, wouldn't that taste good right about now? And then the Holy Ghost says, no, you don't have any desire for that. You're a new creature in Christ. You're wrestling with the demon. He's right on you.
Amen.
Wrestling gets sweaty and dirty, and what Satan wants to do is he wants to pin you down to the dirt where you can't move. That's what he wants. You wrestle every time you're watching some ungodly TV show, and you thought it was okay, and it seemed to be okay, and all of a sudden somebody takes the Lord's name in vain, and you wince, and you think, oh, I shouldn't be watching this, but you go on and do it anyway. That's the time to get up there and turn that off. Don't you pay anybody take the Lord's name in vain. Pay that cable TV so you can sit in front of there and have them blaspheme and mock your Savior died for you. These ungodly people in Hollywood. By the way, I'm told that Hollywood comes from Hollyweed, which was Merlin's magic wand. Did you know that? No good thing comes out of Hollywood. I mean nothing. So aren't there some Christians there? If they are, they're not making movies. That industry's not going to let a Christian in. A true born-again child of God's not going to get anywhere in Hollywood. Don't give them your money. You worked for that money, didn't you? Money's labor and sweat and time and energy. Don't give it to them. They don't deserve it. I'm not going to love those that hate my Lord. Now, I'll love them as far as Christ goes, but I'm not going to love what they do, and I'm not going to support what they do. They hate my God. They blaspheme my Lord. That's not right, and I don't like it. You don't get my money. That's my attitude. Maybe that's a little radical. We're wrestling. Not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And what Satan wants to do is he wants to change the way you think so that he can change the way you act. And what did Hitler say? He said, the bigger the lie, the better, and keep telling it to people until they believe it. And this is exactly what's happened in our society. It's been preached ever since the 60s through the music and through the media. And at every hand, on every side, you're constantly bombarded with lies, big lies, real big lies. And pretty soon, people don't think the same way they used to. And we've reached a point today, brother, sister, you tell me, true or false, people can't even think at all anymore.
Amen.
They have lost the ability to look at a situation and to reason their way through that thing with the Bible and good old common sense. God gave us a brain.
Amen.
Have you ever seen a time when people couldn't do anything? They can't even think. Why? Because they've been mesmerized by the stupid screen.
Yep.
And if it's not a television, it's some computer. They spend all their time on the web. Many people work in front of a computer all day, go home all night. They're stuck in that thing. They're locked in. They've got one hand on the mouse, the right hand, the mark, their foreheads and their brain and their eyes are glued to that web, and a web catches things, doesn't it? That's what a web is supposed to do. It's a net, right? A net catches things and holds them and pulls them. We're not. People would run down. If there was any kind of a crisis and there was some government center, some pronouncement said, you get this little chip, you have no money, you're going to lose everything, just go do it. It's free, it's painless. We'll give it to your kids in inoculations. People run to do that thing. If they'd lost everything else, what would you do? What would you do in that situation? It could happen overnight. It is happening even as we speak. The whole thing's melting down. You say, I've worked all my life. Well, good. I've got some in the bank. The Lord helped me put it away. Good. Invest it in the souls of men and women and boys and girls while you've still got time.
Amen.
Don't you just think you go lay up that big, big pile. It's good to give an inheritance to your children, your grandchildren too. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But don't you put your trust in that, because the Bible says it'll sprout wings like an eagle and just fly away.
Amen.
One of these days you and I could wake up and turn on the television and open the newspaper and all of a sudden it's all chaos. All of it gone. So I got $50,000 in the bank. Not anymore. The computer says you got zero. But I got $50,000 in there. Oh, you don't understand. The computer says you have zero. If you can bring in all your deposit slips for the last 30 years, we'll validate them, credit them to your account. That's what they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got them? Can you prove it? IRS sends you a bill for $1 zillion. State property tax, same thing. If the computers go haywire, it all goes down.
Yep.
And that could happen 24 hours.
That's right.
Just that quick. So, would you really rather have Jesus
Amen.
Than anything this world has got? Oh, it's exciting times. It's exciting. Your flesh and mind just cringes back. We hate to think about it, don't we? Your spirit should be surging forward, saying, oh, this means that the Lord's coming real soon, and He and I are going to be eyeball to eyeball, eyes like a flame of fire, and He'll look you in the eye like I'm looking you in the eye right now. Oh, won't that be a day? Won't that be something? Now, we won't gloat in it. We'll be too terrified.
Amen.
But when that righteous judge comes, he'll set it all straight.
Amen.
All the tortures, all the child abuse, all the concentration camps, all the wars, all the kids killing kids, all of this stuff's going to be set straight, and it's going to be set straight in fury in about an instant.
Amen.
And it's going to terrify us. But it's also going to make us realize how precious is our salvation.
Amen.
We could be there under judgment, but we're not. We've received grace. Oh, that's powerful. That's
Amen.
A precious thing. Okay, let's just show you as we go through here. Practical examples of what's happening. And we'll start all the way back in 69 and move all the way up to the early part of the 90s. Actually, it was 1968. Brother, could you go ahead and turn that thing on? And we'll go ahead and turn our lights off. And we'll play you some practical examples and show you these seven powers and principalities. Because we know they're out there. The Bible doesn't talk about things that don't exist. And I don't care if there's 7 or 7 million. It doesn't matter to me. You know, some people get all caught up in this thing of wanting to search out all the occult doctrines and practices. Well, if you're called to that, fine, but there's a danger there, and there's a limit to that kind of thing for a Christian. You shouldn't indulge yourself, immerse yourself in it. Get enough that you need, enough knowledge to show others, and then you can go on. Now, this is the cover of one of these underground rock albums, and you know what they're showing here? This was a band in Florida. They never made it big, but this was the cover of their record, and what you're seeing is a demonic power, a demonic principality that's offering a contract to a rock and roller. Now, you see, Satan knows what he's doing. He's not hiding this stuff anymore. Pastor and I were talking about this today. He thinks he's so bold now, and he thinks no one can oppose him. He's such an insane creature, he's coming right out in the open. And this has been the mystery for years. This has been the rumor that the rock bands do deals with the devil. And people mock at that, and they say, you mean they actually meet demons and sign contracts? What did Lucifer try to do to the Lord
mm-hmm.
in the Gospel of Luke? Huh?
Sure
he said,
All this shall be thine if thou shalt fall down and worship me, right? And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he told him to get to the pinnacle of the temple. He said, you can have it all. He tried to do a deal with our Lord. You think he won't try to do a deal with these poor saps? These rock and rollers? These corrupt dogs? That's what they are. You look at the young people out there. Some of them have rings in their noses and ears like pigs. Don't have enough sense to cut their hair and take a bath. They just don't. It's pitiful. It's an awful thing to see because Satan has corrupted wisdom and he's corrupted beauty and he's corrupted the music to the point where you've got young people that can't string two words together. Their brains are blown. They can't think. They don't understand. They're not on the same planet as you and I anymore. This is why it's getting harder and harder to witness to a lost and dying world. You'd think it'd be getting easier. It's not. It's getting harder. I've talked to evangelists who've been preaching longer than I've been alive. And they said there were times, especially in the Bible Belt, especially in the South, where people still had some sense about them. They tell me there were times when you could preach fire and brimstone, preach your heart out, and the unction would come down and people would weep and cry. They'd get out of their pews and they'd fall on their face and call out to Almighty God. He says today they just sit and fold their arms and stare at you. It's because there's a spirit that's descended upon our churches and upon our land. It's a spirit of ungodly pride. Won't bow my knee. Might go see me bow. Resist that thing with everything that's in you. You and I need to break and break and break. Every single one of us. And if here's the danger, brother and sister. If we won't break, God just might break us. He doesn't want to, but he just might for our own good. If you and I won't break, he might do it. And that's not fun. Let's go to the next one, please. These demonic contracts are very, very real. I don't have any doubt about it. Started with good old Beatles. And we'll play a little piece of music here, and then I'll read the lyrics for you. And we'll show you that we're talking about the first major principality. Now, cast back in your minds to the early part of the 60s, the mid-60s, and onward from there. That's when everything changed. And really, it's only in 3 years. 66, 7, 8, and 9, those last 3 years especially, are when this country turned upside down and inside out, and it has never been the same since. And it's because music like this first came on the scene. I'll read his lyrics for you in just a second. Beatles.
Purpose, this awesome beat.
This is testimony from a man named Ivor Greenslade. Let's get this first. This is a Baptist missionary to the Amazon. He's talking about the demonic connection between music that he has heard out in the bush and what's called Christian rock.
They have. Where the emphasis on the second beat or the fourth beat, it's definitely connected with their demonism, their saintism, their santeria, the whole thing. And when we first came up here and heard the rock music when it first came out, my wife and I looked at each other and we said, well, this is something we've been hearing all along. This is nothing new to us. It sounds just like the jungle music. And I remember one fellow going back, we took some tapes out, and on one of the tapes, our children had slipped in one of these tapes on contemporary Christian music. Christian rock, shall we put it in quotation marks? Really, there's no such thing as Christian rock. Rock is rock, and it's connected to spiritism. And suddenly the brethren, when our children played that on our tape deck, they wanted to know why we were playing the music of the demons. They recognized it right away.
They recognized it right away. These people who had been lost out in the bush of the Amazon and who had been saved under Ivor Greenslade's ministry, they recognized Christian rock music from America as being music of the demons right away. You didn't have to tell them. So why do you have a $1 billion-a-year industry now? That's based in Tennessee, by the way. Nashville's the center of this thing, and Franklin also. A $1 billion-a-year industry, and some poor native out in the middle of the Amazon that just got born again has more discernment than multitudes of churches that are pouring their money in this stuff.
Amen.
Demonic principalities. And here's the first one. It's called Ray J, and he is the principality of the occult. This opened the door for everything else, and here's this Beatles music that proves it. Okay. Here's what this song says. 1968, that was Beatles. John Lennon singing. My mother was of the sky. My father was of the earth. But I'm of the universe. And you know what it's worth? The eagle picks my eye. The worm, he licks my bone. feel so suicidal. Black cloud crossed my mind. Blue mist round my soul. Feel so suicidal. Even hate my rock and roll. Want to die. Yeah, want to die. Sold millions. Would you buy a song like that? I'm so suicidal, I want to die. These people had multiplied millions of dollars. John Lennon could snap his fingers and anybody on the planet could fall and kiss his feet in the dirt. He had everything you could ever want. Blue mist round my soul. I'm told, and I've read, that when Red J appears at these coven meetings, it says a blue mist. Colors are real important in the occult, in witchcraft and Satanism. A blue mist fills the room, and its principality of the occult is there, which opens the door for everything else. And is that not true? Is that not what happened in the 60s? When the occult came out of the closet, everything else followed. Suddenly you had everybody coming out of the closet. About time Christians came out of the closet, don't you think? Or maybe we ought to be going into our closet, huh? Maybe we ought to be going into our prayer closet while all the queers and the witches and the weirdos and the nuts and the freaks are coming out of theirs. We ought to be going into our closet. Demonic prophecy speaking through these people. There's a blue mist round my soul. He says, the eagle picks my eye, the wormy licks my bone. Does that sound like Bible? Any scriptures rolling? Proverbs 30, verse 17. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth his mother, what? The eagles of the valley shall pluck it out. And we were talking about this to the young people in Sunday school this morning. That's speaking of the rebellious youth. That's speaking of this ungodly son that hates and mocks and disobeys and despises his parents, ends up on a garbage dump somewhere as a criminal, executed, and the birds flock down and pick away at the carcass. This man was singing about that. Demonic prophecy all those years ago. Now, let's ask a question. John Lennon's in hell right now.
That's right.
He was killed in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there for 18 years. 18 years the man's been in hell. He had everything you could ever want. You think about what he's got now. He hasn't even got a stitch of clothes on. Mm-hmm. The man's as naked as the day he was born. And the Bible says that the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched.
Amen.
It's a real place. It's full of real people. It's not a fairy tale meant to get money out of churchgoers. It's real. And he's there, not because he was a drug addict, not because he led a whole world astray, although he did those things, not because he was a sexual pervert, although he was, or that he mocked and blasphemed Christ, although he did. That's not why he's in hell. He's in hell because he neglected and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ's gift of salvation. That's why he's in hell. He's there now. He said, the worm licks my bone. You think about this poised on the edge of destruction forever, but never really destroyed.
That's right.
Amen.
And so he's just some ghost somewhere. His body's in the grave. No, he's got some kind of a spiritual body. We know this from Luke chapter 16. Oh, that was just a parable. Jesus didn't say it was a parable. He said there was a certain rich man. He's a rich man for certain. He's a man, a real man, Jesus talked about. And by the way, if it was a parable, you mean it gets worse than that? If it's just a little tale, a story that Jesus told, you mean hell's worse? Terrible place. If you can imagine somebody like Lennon, he's there right now, and the flames and the torment and the worms are eating at him forever. And he had everything. This is what the principality of the occult did. It opened the door and changed an entire generation. Now, here's another example. Let's go to the next one, please. Anybody recognize that band? Fleetwood Mac. Do you realize that Fleetwood Mac have now reformed? We're talking about people that are 50 years old. They're not kids anymore. They've got gray ponytails, and Stevie Nicks was in People magazine. They've reformed. Now, they reformed once just a few years ago. Do you know why? They've been broken up. They had all their millions, and they were drug addicted, and they split to the four corners of the earth to indulge their sins. But they did reform just a few years ago for one specific purpose. Do you know when? Why? It was to play at the inaugural ball of Bill and Hillary Clinton. They personally requested that this band reform and play just for them. And I've got video footage, don't have it with me tonight, at the Democratic National Convention, first time around, when Bill Clinton was nominated. There's Al and Tipper and Bill and Hillary all jumping and jiving and dancing on the platform while they're playing a Fleetwood Mac song behind them. Fleetwood Mac today has number one album, top 10 album, number one album, 50-year-old people reforming. We're talking about the principality of the occult. Stevie Nicks wrote a song called Rhiannon in 1975, and I've been running mail for the Bloomington Post Office one day a week on Saturdays, and one thing that I delivered just yesterday, it was a bank statement, and it was to parents, and then it was to the daughter of the parents, and her name was Rhiannon. Rhiannon. Somebody heard that song, named their child after that Fleetwood Mac song, and the whole song's about a witch named Rhiannon. Would you take a witch name and put it on your precious child? People doing it. And you wonder why you've got all kinds of demonic problems and spiritual problems with those kids as they grow up. Naming them. Here's what it sounded like. Here's a song. Rhiannon. Fleetwood Mac. remember, this is the principality of the occult that's opening the doors for everything else. Here's what the lyric said. Rhiannon rings like a prayer through the night. Wouldn't you love to love her? Takes to the sky like a bird in flight. And who will be your lover? It's a Welsh witch. It was a legendary character named Rhiannon. They dug this stuff up, wrote the song about it, big hit. Bill and Hillary like it. Here's what Stevie Nicks says. Quote, it's amazing because sometimes when we're on stage, I feel like somebody's just moving the pieces. I'm just going, God, we don't have any control over this. And that's magic. They're witches.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They worship the devil. It's not a rumor. You don't have to stretch the truth to make it fit. She said, I'm not in control. I write a song about a witch, and when I'm on stage, something's moving me around. Well, I know what that is. It's the principality of the occult. It's Rege. Now, here's what Satan wanted to do, and he did it, by and large, to a whole generation of youth. Youth have the zeal, they've got the energy, they've got the health and the strength. They could be of great use in the kingdom of God. The devil knows this. So what he wants to do first is to get them an unholy fascination with the forbidden, hidden things of the occult. He did that. Then they must begin to degrade their bodies through drugs and through sex. After the bodies are destroyed, then the minds have to be destroyed. This is all a part of spiritual enslavement and entrapment. And the music is the bait and the magnet. That's done it to an entire generation. You move on up to the heavy drug era of the early 70s. And this next one is Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. The song is called Sweet Leaf, and you'll see what was going on. The power in the music. There's spiritual power in all of these songs and what it did to a generation. Next one, please. I can't forget you or your surprise. You introduced me to my mind and left me wanting. You and your kind is calling, talking about marijuana. Now, I know that there's at least one brother here, and there may be others. Oh, that's bringing back bad memories for you, isn't it? Huh? Because you and I spent years listening to that stuff, many times under the influence. Years while that stuff branded us in our spirit. And I've got good news for you, brother. When you hear that today, tonight, you just give thanks to God for what he delivered you from. Because you could be dead, and so could I. I could be in hell right now. Powerful, heavy spirit. It's not just music. There's a whole lot more going on there. And it's not just words either. Sweet Leaf. Now, the name of this principality is called Bacchus. And that is the principality of drugs and addiction and alcoholism. And could you ever have imagined, from the World War II years into the early part of the 50s, an entire nation of young people addicted to drugs and to alcohol, millions of young people suddenly getting into witchcraft and into all the occult stuff? Let me ask you a question, brother, sister, those of you old enough to know. Back in 1948, if the witches and the queers had come out of the closet and said, hey, we worship the devil, and we demand the right to teach your kids in your schools, what would have happened? Huh? Would the government have given them money and said, go ahead? I've got a feeling now, I don't know. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I've got a feeling there'd be some good old boys get some good old ball bats and they would have driven those people right back in the closet where they belonged. You say, that's pretty unloving. Well, God will take vengeance. God will be the judge. But there comes a time when you draw the line and say, no more! That's it! And if they say, we'll bury you, we'll destroy you, you say, you don't know who you're messing with, because I've got a Lord and Savior that will not be mocked.
Yes, sir.
God is not mocked, and you ain't getting my kids.
Amen.
Now what you going to do? Don't you think it's about time some Christians got some steel in their spine and some fire in their belly,
Amen.
And they stood up and said, no! I resist you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not going to do it. You can't have my child. My child belongs
Amen.
To the Lord.
Amen.
And you have to kill me to get that child. And I don't think you can do it, because my God's more powerful than yours.
Amen.
That's what they need to hear. They're tired of this limp-wristed, wimpy Christianity. Oh, there's nothing we can do except love everybody. Yeah, you can love them, but don't you let them run over you
Amen.
And destroy your family.
Amen.
That's why we're in the shape we're in.
Amen.
Okay, so now you've got a generation that's addicted to drugs. You've got a generation whose bodies are degraded and destroyed, and their minds have been blown. and they turn to the dark side. What's next? Well, then you've got to bring in all kinds of sexual perversions, and it is easily done through the music, and the name of this thing is called Liars. Now, let me read you some sexual statistics. This is from Michael Mills Ministry Reports in Michigan. Studies, this is a quote, studies show that more than one quarter of 15-year-old girls are sexually active. That was 15. More than 25% are sexually active every year. An estimated 2.5 million teens acquire a venereal disease. Each day, 3,000 teens become pregnant. Every day, 3,000 become pregnant. 2.5 million new cases of VD in teenagers every year. And by the way, a lot of that stuff does not respond to any type of treatment anymore. The antibiotics don't work. The penicillin doesn't work. It's all drug-resistant. New strains mutating all the time and being spread like wildfire. I've talked to some doctors, Christian doctors, Christian nurses. They say everybody has got herpes. Everybody. That entire generation that they see week in and week out, young adults now, not kids anymore, but the teenagers too, everybody's got it. This is a terrible thing. How'd they get it? 1988 National Survey of Adolescent Males, a third of boys surveyed were sexually active at 15, half at 16, two-thirds at 17, 86% at 19. That was 10 years ago. What is it now? This is in the high schools and the junior high schools. 600,000 teenagers will become pregnant this year, 23,000 aged 14 or younger. More than 40% of pregnancies in the 15 to 19-year-olds will be aborted. I heard of someone speaking that had run abortion clinics and become born again. It was a powerful woman. She had many clinics under her control in the state of Wisconsin. And she said that Planned Parenthood went into the school systems, the public systems in the state of Wisconsin, and counseled with the teenage girls there and got them on birth control and intentionally gave them pills that were so weak that they would not work, knowing that in about 6 months those girls would be back with their boyfriend's money in their hand for an abortion. They planned it and plotted it and took those bucks and killed those babies. This is almost too much to get a grip on, isn't it? When you realize how far this thing's gone. Doesn't anybody have any decency? Don't they have any common sense anymore? Don't they understand the sacredness of life? No, they don't. They don't. It's the days of Noah. 50 to 60% of evangelical Christian youth that were surveyed are involved in sexual activity. Over half of the youth in the churches that were polled, evangelical Christian youth are involved in sexual activity. You say, not my kid. Well, praise God. Hope not. Praise God. You'd better be watching them real close. Amen. Now, don't you choke them, but you keep them on a rein. Whatever happened to courtship instead of dating? Huh? Am I just too old-fashioned and weird? Now, I've got a daughter. She's only 6, but she'll be 16 before you know it. That 10 years will go by like nothing. And my wife and I are trying scripturally to get a base set so we can know what to do and how to be. We don't want to just be flip-flopping and running this way and that way, trying to figure it all out. We want to get a stand and take a stand, a loving stand, and keep that stand. And if you're able to do it, you should too. Now, for some of you, it's too late. Well, that's just the way it is. That's life. But for many of you, it's not too late. You've got children growing up. I can see them right here. They're precious. Dating is a dry rehearsal for divorce. That's what it is. The idea of pull up in the driveway, honk the horn, and be careful now, and just let them go. In the old days, whenever that was, you tell me if I'm wrong, in the old days, mom and dad sat right there. They were in the next room. There was none of this stuff where you take my girl out who knows where and do who knows what. You sit here. And I've even heard some horror stories. Oh, you talk about fire and brimstone. There's a fire and brimstone Baptist preacher I've heard on tape. And he says when the boys come to his house to take his daughter out, he gets the boy off in a separate room and sits him down for about an hour. And he says things like this. She belongs to me. You touch her, you're dead. She may not get a lot of dates, but the ones she gets, they're right. They're right. Chaperone is what it's called. Courtship versus dating. 50 to 60% of evangelical Christian youth involved in sexual activity. We'll show you where this stuff came from. The principality of liars of sexual perversion through the music. Next one, please. This is a song by Kiss.
I'm coming out of school now, doctor underneath the iron roof.
That was 1974. I grew up listening to that kind of stuff. And by the way, Kiss out on tour. They have been for over a year. And they're getting ready to start a second year. 50-year-old men now. Now try and imagine, brother, sister, what it's like to have blasphemed God, to have lived and wallowed in the depths of wickedness like you and I can't even imagine all your life. Yeah. And to have that kind of power of sin put on top of sin until you don't have a conscience anymore. You'll do anything. The only thing that matters is what do you want? And how can you get it? And who can you destroy to get a hold of it? That's where these people are coming from. And I read that they had grossed, Kiss had grossed on the reunion tour. It was something like $9 million a week just from t-shirts, lunchboxes, posters. That doesn't count the concert tickets. Or they're making a new album. It's called Psycho Circus. Going to come out soon. A whole new generation. 50-year-old men. What was he saying way back in 1974? The song's called Christine 16. See, they have to mock Christ in there somewhere. Christine 16, here's what this pervert says. I don't usually say things like this to girls your age, but when I saw you coming out of school that day I knew, I've got to have you. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time I checked, it was a crime to molest children.
Amen.
By the way, Gene Simmons used to be a school teacher in New York City. Make some sense now? The guy sitting out in the parking lot in his little car there long before he ever got famous watching the girls come out of school, and years later he writes a song about it, makes millions of dollars. It's a principality. It's a power. It's a devil that rests upon these groups and upon these people. And they like it. They make friends with it. It becomes part of them. And the only picture I have in my mind is that they just must be a human shell, and that's all that's left of them.
Man.
And by the way, God has made some vessels fitted to wrath and destruction.
Right.
And some well-meaning Christians say, well, I pray for them every day. Okay, I've never discouraged you from praying for anybody. But we've got to understand, some people are so wicked that they cannot be touched because they will not be touched.
Amen.
They have reached a point where they enjoy what they are, and they want to serve the devil, and they want to take your kids to hell. And at that point, they're gone. And when the judgment of God falls on him, it won't be a pretty thing. Okay. This is Prince. Now, Prince went through all kinds of weird things. You know, these people, it drives them insane, their lifestyle. There comes a point when they no longer can even cope with normal human activity. And so a few years ago, Prince said, you will not call me Prince anymore. They said, well, what are we going to call you? I am the artist with no name. Okay. And the record company said, what do we put on the album? He said, here, take this little symbol. Put it on there. It's one of these weird occult deals with arrows and circles and stuff going upside down and curlicues on it. And they said, well, we're not going to be able to sell any records if you'll put your name on it. I've given my command. And before he did that, before he actually went nuts, we're going to take a look at one of these songs. It's called Take Me With You. And Purple Rain album was huge. This is 1988. We've come up from the 60s. We're in the 80s now. And here's what he says. All I want is to spend the night together. All I want is to spend the night in your arms. To be around you so right. Your sheer perfection. Thank you. Now, this isn't that heavy metal stuff. This is the kind of stuff that's playing on the Top 40 radio. Prince. Brother, sister, I'm going to make a bold statement. Satan does some of his best work in the middle of the road. We're always looking at these extremes and saying, oh, I know that's of the devil. I can tell. Well, you're good. But what about all this sappy, lovely, melodic stuff flowing out of the radio, all about love? It's not about love. It's about sex.
Man.
That's what it's about. This is the danger. So I can't take everything away from my kids. You better take everything away from them that can hurt them.
Man.
Huh? The idea of child rearing today is you let your children do whatever they want. Now, we did that with my three. We wouldn't have a house left after about 2 days.
Man.
Let them do whatever they want. Now, somebody did tell me, mother-in-law told me, she said, look, you can have a clean house or kids. You can't have both. Okay, we've accepted that. That's true. But you don't just let your children do whatever they want. You've got to rein them in. You've got to train them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. And sometimes dad has to say, look, you've got to turn that radio off. But it's about love. Dad, it's a love song. No, it's not, daughter. You have to sit down and talk to him. It's not about love. It's not what he's talking about. Man's a pervert. He wants your money. He's degraded his body. He's full of the devil. It's a principality. The best example of this woman. And by the way, who's on the new TV guide? Cover of the new TV guide. The big thick one comes out every month or so, every 2 weeks or so. You seen it? Madonna. She's on the cover of TV Guide, and this is her right there. We're still talking about this powerful sexual principality. Here's a quote from Madonna. Quote, crucifixes are sexy because there's a naked man on them. That's where she's coming from. You wouldn't spend any money for her. You wouldn't buy a TV Guide with a picture on it, would you? Huh? So you can sit down and watch a bunch of trash? Watch one of her specials? Here's some statistics. 1990, she made $22,000 a minute. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but there's people in this room probably that don't make $22,000 in a year. She made $22,000 a minute. It works out to over $1 million per hour. She did 3 tour dates in 15 cities, only 3. They made her $17,820,000. That's in 1990. It's gotten a lot bigger since then. One tour, $48 million was the gross. Sold 23 million albums in the U.S. alone, over 40 million worldwide. Her income in 1990 was $44.5 million. That's what she made herself. $44.5 million in 1990. In 92, she did a special new 7-year deal, which probably has just run out, with Time Warner. They gave her another $80 million. She already made $43 million. Now they gave her another $80 million. What could you do with $150 million for the kingdom of God? Huh? And these, you see, the devil's got a lot of money. He's got all the money that he needs, and that's what he throws on these people. Here's what she says, Madonna, quote, the point is to feel comfortable with yourself and whatever you want to do. Whether it be with another man, be with another woman, be with 3 people, be alone, whatever, you shouldn't feel shame about it. That's the devil talking. You shouldn't feel shame. Yes, we should feel shame about some things. The problem is the church can't blush anymore.
Amen.
The church can't blush. And society sure doesn't blush. Don't feel shame about it. She says, I have a lot of sexual fantasies about women. I enjoy being with women. She's a lesbian. I said, she's a lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's on the cover of TV Guide this week. Not 10 years ago. And she's talking about a movie, some queer movie. She says, quote, my favorite scene is the one of 2 men kissing. I think it's a beautiful thing. Here's what she says in LA Times, May 5th, 1991. I'm a tormented person. I have a lot of demons inside of me.
Yeah, no doubt.
My pain is as big as my joy. She spoke the truth for once. Satan will do that. He'll take a little bit of truth in the midst of a bunch of lies. I have a lot of demons inside of me. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
They're not acting. They know. I've got demons inside of me. This is one of the biggest songs of the 80s. See if you remember it. Song's called Like a Virgin, and she's mocking virginity. Let me tell you something, young people. Young ladies, virginity's a precious gift from God.
Amen.
Don't you give that thing up. God gave it to you. It's precious. God will bring the husband for you someday.
Amen.
Don't you give in to pressure. And it's okay to lay it on your mom and dad and say, Dad won't let me go here. He won't let me do this. I'm sorry. When that boy calls and when he puts that pressure on, it's okay. Mom and dad can handle that. Dad ought to be big enough to handle that and say, yes, daughter, you did the right thing. Actually, what dad ought to be doing is he ought to be taking that phone saying, hi. Who's this? Why don't you come over and have supper with us? We'll get to know you. Click. Okay. That was a waste of time. That was easy. Don't you think it's about time, dads?
Amen.
To safeguard your precious daughters. There's a bunch of wolves out there. They want to chew them up and spit them out.
Amen.
Don't let them. You don't have to let them.
Amen.
You're there to guard. Amen. Until such day as your precious daughter walks down that aisle. And we'll pick on the girls and forget the boys. Oh, young man, virginity's precious. You hang on to that thing. There's no shame in that. In keeping your body pure, what Satan wants to do is put disease in your body.
Amen.
He wants to fill your mind with all the corrupt filth of hell so you can't concentrate on the Lord's work.
Right.
Let's destroy your body so you're all distracted and drag him through the muck. It doesn't mean you're lost, but you'll sure lose ground you can maybe never recover. Keep that body precious and pure. I'll tell you what, the hormones are in overdrive when you hit 16, sometimes 14. In the old days, teenagers and pre-teenagers, they went out and worked. They were too tired to mess around by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They were out there baling hay and slopping hogs and hauling water. You say, well, I don't live on a farm. Well, get out and cut the grass and wash the windows and run around the track and lift weights. Do something. Wear yourself out. So that when you go to bed, you drop off to sleep. Too tired to get in trouble. Nothing wrong with that. Be good for you.
Amen.
Dad, you're not too old. Sometimes I think I'm too old. You're not too old. Get out there and do it with them. Okay. That was the principality of sexual perversion. Now you've got a generation hooked into the occult. Brains blown on drugs. Bodies destroyed and full of diseases and degraded. What's next? It's a principality called Pan. That's where we get the word panic. And this is what you're seeing around there. It's what you saw in the L.A. riots and in other places where society breaks down and everybody just goes wild because there's no longer any rules, no longer any boundaries. You can do whatever you want to do. Biggest band of the later part of the 80s, early part of the 90s, Guns N' Roses. It's called Welcome to the Jungle. Panic. You're my serpentine. Serpentine! You're my serpent! He's talking to the spirit that rests upon him, the spirit of panic. Welcome to the jungle. It gets worse here every day. You learn to live like an animal in the jungle where we play. Watch it bring you to your knees. I'm going to watch you bleed. You know where you are? You're in the jungle, baby. You're going to die. You're my serpentine. I want to watch you scream. Panic. So now you've got a mass of young people which are like a spooked herd of cattle. And they don't know which way they're going. They just know if you open the chute, they're going out that way, and they're going to trample anything that gets in its way. You starting to get a picture of the mission field that's out there, brother, sister?
Yeah.
It's a precious thing coming to the house of God and be raised up and nurtured in the church, yes. But understand what's going on out there. And we're not going to be able to rest in the comfort of these four walls forever. You've got to understand that what's out there is eventually going to come in here. If they have to bust it down, burn it down, and it's already happened in San Francisco and places like that. The queers have achieved so much power. They're pounding on doors now, demanding entrance. Federal laws are being written that are telling pastors and leadership, you must not discriminate against a homosexual, a witch, or anybody else who wants to come into your church, teach your kids,
yeah.
Preach from your pulpit. What are you going to do then? Say, we'll never do that. You're going to face it real, real soon. Every church is going to face it. A lot of them will just cut deals. And they'll just stab their conscience some way and say, well, we had to do it. It's the law. We've got to obey the law. Yeah. Not when it contradicts the word of Almighty God, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's the only time. Panic. Let's go to the next one, please. One of the last principalities is named Medit. and it is total chaos, total revolution and rebellion, like I was speaking with the young people in the Sunday school class today. And it was best put out in the later part of the 60s, 1968, by Rolling Stones in a song called Street Fighting Man. Here's what it sounds like. Now, if you listen very carefully, and remember, my generation and the generation before me was brought up on this stuff. What Mick Jagger said was, "Hey, my name is called Disturbance." The demon just named itself through his mouth, with his voice. But it's the demon in him talking, "Hey, my name's called Disturbance." That's the principality that rests upon him. And the whole idea was overthrow the government. Now, you haven't forgotten the Vietnam days, have you? We'd like to. Because they were terrible, terrible days. We get all misty-eyed and think the 60s were a good time. They weren't a good time, brother, sister. This country just about went down. It was give and take. It was iffy. We didn't know which way things were going to go. And the music was lighting the fires all over the place. Stone's 1989 tour. $110 million. This kind of crowd they get. Now, they've just been out on tour again. We're talking about men that are pushing 60 now. 60 years old. They just went out on tour, toured all over the place, number one tour, all broke all the records, $120 million, $150 million, talking about $200 million grosses. They had a CBS recording contract that paid them $24 million, and in 1994, Voodoo Lounge Tour grossed $120 million. So you see what Satan's done? Now you've got the right situation for total chaos and breakdown of society. When these principalities have been released through the music over the period of 35 years, all it takes is the right spark to light the thing. And I'll tell you what, if computers blow up and everybody loses their money, that's the spark right there. Mm-hmm. Have you got a garden? No, I live in an apartment. Oh, okay. Would you know how to grow food if you had to? I had a brother tell me, you know, January 1st is when this stuff may break down. And I said, what are you going to do if that happens? He says, I'll plant a garden. You ain't planting in January, not up north. I'd encourage you to get the old tiller out of mothballs this spring right now, brother, sister. Get out and tear up some ground while you can. And let me tell you something from personal story here. My wife has a sister, and she's precious, but she's lost. She and her husband, good job, yuppies and all this kind of stuff. And they thought they'd get organic and do a garden. And so my wife's sister asked Paula, and said, now when we plant corn and beans, does it come up every year? People would starve to death before they figured it out. That's how much knowledge we've lost. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Plant it once, you never have to weed it or till it again. Uh-huh. The point is, nobody knows how to do anything. They can't even feed themselves anymore. And with rare exceptions, my generation couldn't shoot, gut, deer. You have to learn those things. You're supposed to be taught by your daddy and your granddaddy. We've lost all of that. Medit. Here's what Keith Richards of Rolling Stone said. Let's go to the next one, please. He said, quote, rock and roll was one of the biggest weapons the English had. Did you hear that? Rock and roll was one of the biggest weapons the English had. They didn't know it. Music is one of the most powerful and insidious and subtle weapons. Now, you think that's an act? He understands the music they've been making for 35 years is a weapon, and it's been aimed right at the hearts of youth. Now, here's another example of this principality called Medit. Now, I'm told this thing has to be reined in. It can't be let go too long, otherwise the whole world turns into a piece of charcoal. But the best example was Los Angeles in flames, and that was in May 1st, 1992. Here's what happened. $1 billion burning businesses, 53 innocent people beaten, shot, and clubbed to death. Over the Rodney King verdicts, 2,000 others injured, 15,000 arrested. And when it was all over, the mayor and the others said, how could this happen? Why did this happen? Well, it happened because of things called rap music. This is a man called Ice-T. He had a song called Cop Killer. It says, I got my 12-gauge sawed off. I got my headlights turned off. I'm about to bust some shots off. I'm about to dust some cops off. Die, pig, die. Now, I know there's corruption in law enforcement, but brother, sister, if it weren't for the boys in blue, we wouldn't have a society right now. And that's a simple fact. God's ordained order within society. And I don't like being stopped any more than you do. And until such time as it becomes Nazi Germany, I'm going to obey the law to the best of my ability. Or pay my taxes, obey the law, obey authority. God honors that. What these people are saying, you get some guns, you just kill pigs. Cop Killer. It was on 1991 Body Count album. It sold 300,000 copies in 4 months. And they wonder why things happen in L.A. Here's what it sounds like, this kind of music. I don't know about you, but when you walk down the street, you're in the car, you hear this stuff coming, don't you? Mm-hmm. You can hear it booming everywhere. You think, well, that's a black phenomenon. No, it covers every strata of society now, rich, poor, black, white, everything in between. They're all listening to it. They're all absorbing it. We're headed for a race war in this nation. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, one of the best things about the body of Christ is there's no color barrier. Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter how much money you got or how much you don't, we all come across on the same way, on our knees. We're all equal and level before the cross of Christ.
Amen.
That's precious. That's not the way it is out there. Some of the things he was saying, we're about done. Hang on. He said, suck or stare, I don't care. My game ain't knowledge. My game's fear. I've no remorse. So squares beware, but my true mission is just revenge. You ain't my set, you ain't my friend. Wear the wrong color, your life could end. Homicide's my favorite binge. Now you're wondering why kids are killing kids? When they spend an hour after hour absorbing this, and it's not just listening to some words and some music, it's a spirit that comes to rest upon their mind. And it begins to take more and more control of them. And when the devil's done with them, he just releases and leaves them. And there they are, stuck with dead bodies around them, crying in the courtroom, crying. Why did you do it? I don't know. Who told you to do it? No, nobody. Then why did you do it? I don't know. And they don't know. Two more principalities and it's over. When you've reached this point where you have mass chaos in society and you have a mass of young people and young adults and older adults that are totally degraded in every way, then what Satan wants is to kill all of mankind. That's what he's after, because we're created in the image and likeness of God, and he hates us, and he wants to kill us. He's a murderer from the beginning, Jesus said, and abode not in the truth. So this final principality here, before we get to the one that attacks Christians, is called Set, and it's the principality of suicide and murder. Here's what the music sounds like. This is what kids are listening to out there. Surviving, 243 teens attempt suicide every day. 13 will succeed. This is that Satan rock stuff, and that's the principality that's on it. That's why you're so assaulted when you hear it. You say, turn that off, I can't take any more of it. That's because there's a demonic power in that thing that has incredible might. Let's go to the next one, please. And what they were saying was, through the boundaries of hell, no one can stop us tonight. Oh, I know that's not true. I know somebody can stop him.
Amen.
My Lord Jesus, he can stop him.
Amen.
My Bible tells me that when the Lord comes, he's going to destroy the wicked with the breath of his mouth. Amen. He's just going to speak a word. That's all he has to do.
Amen.
And all the armies, the hosts of heaven, all the angelic realm, they'll be there too. You and I will be there too. Whether we're raptured or we've died and gone on with the Lord, whatever, we don't have to lift a finger. We don't have to fight. All the Lord has to do is speak. And I don't know what he's going to say. It could be anything. He could say, I am.
Amen.
I am! And the entire world could blow into a million little pieces. And all these wicked with all these armies with AK-47 shooting at the Lord. And all the satellites with their fry beams. Jesus just brushed them aside.
Amen.
Said, no one can stop us tonight. We take on the world with hatred inside. Mayhem, the reason we fight. Surviving the slaughters and killing with lust. Then we return from the dead. These are the heroes of today. Now, you remember when Roy Rogers used to be a hero? Huh? For young people? Wore a white hat? Bad guy always lost? Roy always won? Oh, I'm showing how old I am today, huh? No, these are the heroes today. Let's go to the next one, please. They've got this principality of madness, murder, suicide on them. Next one, please. Okay, you come all the way through all that. And this is the one that really, really affects us more than we think. And it's the unnamed principality. It's called Nemo. Nemo means no name. This principality of the occult affects Christians, specifically. They think, well, I can't be touched. I'm under the blood. Satan will deceive you if he can. And he'll lead you away of your own lust if he's able. And one powerful way to do that is through music, which is a spiritual creation. And here's the when it first began to manifest itself, back about 1970 through George Harrison and the Beatles. Tell me if you've heard this song before. Okay, who's heard that song before? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. George Harrison, a Christian? No. He's a Buddhist. Let's go to the next one, please. Or a Hindu. Well, what's he singing about? He's singing about my sweet Lord. Hallelujah. Really want to see you, really want to see you, really want to see you, Lord. But it takes so long, my Lord. Why? Because he thinks he's got to go through a million reincarnations before he gets there. It doesn't take long to see the Lord. It can be done in about 5 seconds if your heart's right, if you're ready. If you break your heart, you get on your knees, you call out upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't take him all night to come down meet with you. I've talked with brothers and sisters here tonight who testified to me that's exactly the way it was for them. They broke, Christ came. Takes so long, my Lord, but it will for George. He'll spend his whole life searching and never find him. Because he's not coming the way Jesus said to come. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. There is no other way.
Amen.
George doesn't know that. He said, quote, when I was younger, with the after effects of the LSD that opened something up inside of me.
That's right.
In 1966, a flood of other thoughts came into my head, which led me to the Hindu gurus. But it's talking about the Lord, right? It said hallelujah, right? This is the unnamed principality. It's a religious spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the substitute Jesus. It's the substitute Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the counterfeit anointing, which is building mega churches all over this country. Everybody's coming because they want to see something weird. The Holy Ghost isn't weird.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost doesn't do weird things.
Amen.
And people don't line up to see weird things like put your hand out, watch people drop, and somebody catch them. Where's that in the Bible? The only place I read in the Bible where people dropped was Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. And they didn't get up again.
Amen.
When they fell backwards, they'd lie to the Holy Ghost. Jesus wasn't involved in any kind of a circus. When he saw the crowds running, he would take care of business right there. Remember the young boy that was tormented of the devil, tore him, tried to throw him in the water and the fire. And the father with tears said, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. And the crowd comes running and Jesus got it out of that kid right then, at that moment. He wasn't going to do a circus for anybody with cameras and lights. It's an unnamed principality. And it masquerades as Christian. Now the best example of this is the Christian rock stuff. Let's go to the next one, please. A couple examples and we're over. Who's that? That's Amy Grant. Unnamed principality at work. That was the big Unguarded album. Put her over the top. She's bigger now than she ever was. But that was the watershed. And what was the song? Love will find a way. Love will find a way. I know it's hard to see the past and still believe. Love is going to find a way. Love will find a way. A way to go. Love will make a way. Only love can know. Leave behind the doubts. Love's the only out. Love will surely find a way. That's not the love of Christ.
No.
Where's Jesus in that?
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Beatles said 35 years ago. Love is all you need is love, right? No, what the world needs is the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not just fire insurance. Lord!
Amen.
You're my Lord. You command me. I'm your bond servant. What would you have me to do? I have no rights. I have no rights, Lord. I don't demand anything from my God. You save me, you command me. Though you slay me, yet will I serve him. Is that not what Job said?
Amen.
Uh-huh. It's not love will find a way. That's the spiritual mark of the beast, brother, sister. that we all just need to love one another. Now, if you're born again, you'll love people like you never did before. And you'll love people that are unlovely, and they'll hate you because you love them.
Amen.
That's greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's real love. But that's not what this stuff is. This is the unnamed principality at work. Let's go to the next one, please. Michael W. Smith. Secret ambition. He's got to start with drums. Secret ambition. Nobody knew his secret ambition. Nobody knew his claim to fame. He broke the old rules steeped in tradition. He tore the holy veil away, questioning those in powerful positions, running to those who called his name. But nobody knew his secret ambition was to give his life away. Question. Did Jesus Christ have any secret ambitions?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it all done out in the open? Isn't that what he told them when they brought him before the Sanhedrin?
Amen.
He said, it's all been done in the open. Why don't you ask the witnesses what you're asking me for? Didn't the Apostle Paul say nothing's been done in a corner? No secret ambitions. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing, and this is more that old Jesus Christ superstar stuff, that Jesus was just a man. Yes, he was a man, but he's also God.
Amen.
At the same time, 100% man, 100% God, nothing secret about it.
Amen.
The only reason for secrecy is to hide evil.
Amen.
Unnamed principality at work. Now, when you mix them all together, all seven, this is what you end up with. The principality of drug addiction, and you know how that felt when you heard it. The principality of the occult, the principality of sexual perversion, the principality of death and suicide and murder, the principality of chaos and rebellion. When you put all seven of them together, including the unnamed principality, here's what you get. This is what it sounds like. Christian thrash. Christian thrash. And that's all seven principalities at once. That's why you can't stand it. Because you have the Holy Ghost inside you.
Amen.
And you recoil away from that. But there are multitudes of young people that are embracing it with both arms. And there's tons of leadership, I'm sad to say, in churches throughout this country that don't have the guts to say, no, that's of the devil. We're not letting it in this church. And I don't care who screams and throws a little tantrum. And I don't care what parents get on the phone to me and tell me I'm being unreasonable and too rigid. We're not letting it in this church.
Amen.
It's hellish.
Amen.
And so a third of the people walk away. Good. Dead wood gone.
Amen.
Now you've got a real church.
Amen.
God will do that sometimes, you know. He'll prune a church of dead wood.
Yes.
And what we see is chaos and a terrible loss may just be the greatest increase in spiritual power you've ever experienced.
Amen.
In your church, because now you've got some people you can work with. Now you've got some people that love God more than the world. But that's how it goes when you have all seven principalities working at once. Next one, please. Here's what Satan wanted to do, and here's what he's done. Satan wants a man to be this. Would this have happened before rock and roll? Would you have seen somebody like that walking on the street in 1950? Huh? 1948? All the boys in uniform just coming back from the war? You see somebody like that walking down the road, well, they wouldn't last long. Not just in the South. They'd disappear. I won't say how, but they wouldn't be on the street very long. I'm not condoning it. I'm saying this is fact. But today, this is a man. Let's go to the next one, please. All right, this is what Satan wants a girl to be. These are what women are supposed to be today. You see what he's done? He's twisted the whole thing of God's creation. He's turned it inside out and upside down. People don't know what they want. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. You've got the answer. I've got the answer. Don't you shun these people. Now, I realize not all of us can go down a bar where these kinds are sitting there and just belly on up and start giving them the gospel. That's not always possible. But if you pray every day when your feet hit the floor for an opportunity to witness, God will give you one that day.
Amen.
I'm convinced He will.
Amen.
And when He brings these kinds of people next to you, don't you cringe and get away from them? Even if they smell bad. Could have been you. Could have been your son or daughter.
Amen.
And if you don't think that's possible, you've got too much pride, brother, sister.
Amen.
Let's go to the next one, please. Satan wants to put these people in our face so that we're scared and that we won't witness to them. Now, if you know who your Lord is, you won't be afraid. Your flesh will tremble, but your spirit will not have fear, because perfect love casteth out fear. And when you can look at these people and you realize that even at a young age, they're going to burn. They're going to burn if you don't tell them. As God gives you the opportunity, a fit word in due season. Sometimes it doesn't take much.
Amen.
And all of you have a testimony. You don't have to be a master of the Bible, but all of you that are born again at least know what Christ has done for you, and that's all you got to be concerned about.
Amen.
And give it to them. And when they curse you and spit in your face, as some of them will, wipe the spit off and go on. You told them the truth.
Amen.
Next one, please. Christianity versus the occult. That's the choice. Next one, please. This nation has chosen the occult, and kids are drowning in a sea of this stuff. But if they could only get the truth, if they only knew the truth,
mm-hmm.
And the church is keeping the truth all themselves, playing silly little games, getting more and more lazy boy pews, just sit on back and soak it up. Preach it, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Just don't preach it at me. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about Brother So-and-so over there. Brother So-and-so's kids are wild. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart,
amen.
Talking to you, because I've sat where you've sat. I don't like it when the Lord gets right down on me, but I need it. I need it. And so do you. Let's go to the next one, please. Now, I wouldn't leave you with all this to go home on. That's it. I wouldn't leave you with all this to go home on without showing you the real thing. This is real Christian music. I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's from Handel's Messiah. And some of you say, well, I don't like that kind of stuff. Well, so what, brother, sister? It doesn't matter what you like. What pleases God? That's the question. What pleases God? What's a blessing to His heart? That's one example out of many. I've heard some Christian music here tonight. You don't have to wonder about it. You know. You know. We'll go ahead and turn our lights on. You've been given a lot to think about. It's time to do business with God. It's time to do business with God. It's time to stop playing. Seconds ticking away. That's all I can say, because the Holy Ghost has to meet with you. That's all I can do. I give you the invitation. You can come here and kneel and let God break your heart. And if you don't know Christ, if you're not sure, say, why do we do this every week? I was in a Lutheran church that my mother's been in for 40 years, and not once would anybody ever give an invitation to accept Christ. Not once. Here's yours.
Amen.
If you're not sure, if you don't know, bow your knees, break your heart. Let the Lord come down and meet with you. Let God help you tonight.
Thank you.